97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Welcome in. Mark Cox here, along with my partner, Bo Matthews, and producer, Carl Middleman.
Merry Christmas.
Happy that you're along, and boy, do we have a story to tell you today. I'm so looking forward to our interview coming up, Bo Matthews, with our friend, your friend, Jim Allen, I should mention. And if you think you've got a good hunting story, I'm going to tell you, this guy is about to top it. So would you agree with that?
I've known the man for a long time, and it's so strange to see the where he has come in life. The first time I met him, he was my tattoo artist. He did a big back piece for me years and years and years ago. This guy used to tattoo his own leg, so he's already extreme, if you will.
If it's on your back, that means you've never seen it.
Well, I've seen pictures and I've seen reflections. Mm-hmm. Thanks for asking. It's just a thing. Anyway, I've known him for a long time, and I've seen him go from, like, you know, insurance salesman, tattoo artist, car restorer, to now he's like the CEO of this huge tech company here in St. Louis, in the St. Louis area. And I call him the Big Onion, is because he has so many layers to the guy. It's just it's incredible. And he's a motivational speaker, too. So. There you go.
Yeah. Well, it's looking forward to that. We'll have that coming up for you a little later in the show. I know, Bo, you've still got a couple of tickets left for your gun drawing, the 12 guns that'll be drawn through the course of the year for the Eureka Police Officers Association, right?
Yeah. The first drawing was this past Friday at 3 p.m.
Right.
And if there's any tickets available from this point forward, I don't know. I think we were down to singles. I had like four, on Thursday morning, but, I don't know. There's only 250. You've got one. At least one.
Yes.
And the drawing happened, so now there's 11 more. And if you're not the winner of this first one, and you're in the drawing, well, your name stays in for all of them. So you're hoping for, did you look at the list? Which one are you after first?
Well, I don't have the list in front of me. I did look at it. I mean, there's nothing on there that I wouldn't take, but like there's a couple of full size handguns that I was looking at. I think there were a couple of Glocks on there.
I think you like September. Oh, yeah. Was your favorite?
I'm trying to remember. I don't have
Glock
the list
19X.
In front of me. Yeah. Glock I don't have a full size Glock. I've got a smaller couple. Well, I do have a full size 20, but I don't have a full size 9. So the Glock 20, well, which is a 10mm.
According to Tim Holliday, he says the most sought after, the hardest gun to get was the Smith & Wesson 69-44 Magnum handgun.
Oh yeah.
That'll be October next year. But again, there's all kinds of other ones that you can win between now and then. So hopefully you got a ticket.
Absolutely. And it all goes to a fantastic cause. You know what I got to do? I've mentioned this on the show before. I have been a deer hunter for 30 years, right? Haven't had a great deal of success at it, but I've done it.
Not the last two years, anyway.
And I listen to Tim Chelsvik and others who give me tips on how to do it well. And I go into the woods, and I'm often leave disappointed. But regardless, what I've learned is it's a very solitary time. And recently, I have been invited on more than one occasion to go duck hunting. And I really think I'm a new fan to duck hunting. If I could just duck hunt all the time, I'd be happy. Now, the season's only 2 months long, but I got an opportunity to go this week, and boy, did we have a great time. The weather wasn't perfect for duck hunting. I think overcast, even low cloud cover and snow is the ideal time, apparently, to go duck hunting during the season. We haven't had any of that this year. So we went out on Wednesday afternoon, and it was partly sunny, and you know, it was in the 40s. It wasn't super cold. We just had a great time.
Was that your son in the picture?
Yeah, we ended up shooting four ducks, and we just had a great time.
Wait, you texted us that you got two ducks.
Well, we didn't have a dog with us, right? And I would never refer to my son as a dog. How about as a retriever?
Ah.
So we were using my son, who was the youngest person with us, with young legs, to walk out through the muck looking for the other two ducks that we know went down, and we never located them. It's possible they hit the water and then swam off, that they just couldn't fly, but they were still healthy enough to swim. So we did shoot four. We only recovered two of them.
Well, when you're dressing out a duck, is it hard to get the pellets out of the meat or...
No, I'd say it's no different than a pheasant or any other large game. I mean, you see it.
Right.
You can see where it's gone in. You can use a knife to dig in and get the pellet out, generally speaking.
And how long have you been doing this for? How long, duck hunting?
Well, no. I mean, I probably first went about 10 years ago, but I hadn't done it in a few years. And then in the last couple of years, I've been lucky enough to know some people who are members at a couple of duck clubs up in St. Charles County. And they have invited me to go with them, which is nice because you've got a nice, you know, you're in a blind that's built for that. It's a steel blind that's sunk down in the ground, and they grow the corn in the fields, and then they cut it down, and then they flood the fields, and the ducks are attracted to that as a food source. So
love that.
It's very nice. So it's great to know somebody who belongs to a duck club. If I can mention
that. I mean, somebody had to show you how to dress out a duck, right? Once you get it.
Well, actually, here's the thing.
That's the thing about a duck club.
Like, I know I can dress a pheasant, and I can dress a lot of game birds like that. It's pretty easy. You just pretty much just the chest. Well, I don't want to get into details. It's pretty easy. I can't swear how easy it is with a duck, because when you go to one of these duck hunting clubs, particularly there in St. Charles County, there's somebody there that does that for you. So I didn't actually have to dress any of the ducks.
When I go to Canada, to the resort, they clean the fish for you.
They clean the fish for you, yeah. So I can't answer your question, Bo Matthews. I'm sorry.
Well, there's the one percenters that get out of their great outdoors.
No. No, that is not the case. But it is nice. It's a nice little perk, I'll have to say.
But no dogs. Do they have dogs, or
busy? Some people have dogs. It just is so happening.
You bring your own dog.
It just so you could bring your own dog if it's a retriever, if it's trained to retrieve. We just didn't happen to have one this week when we went. So
right. Wow. That's
Wednesday afternoon.
If I took my golden retriever up there, we'd never see her again. I mean, she would just take off running and keep going. So you have to have one that's trained and that sits there and waits. Like, the minute the guns start firing, the dog is just looking every which direction, and then can't wait to head out, and it's watching for a bird to fall, and then it just tracks him down.
So you have done this with dogs.
Oh, yeah. We probably would not have missed those other two had we had an actual dog with us, because with its nose, it would have found the birds, unlike my son. I have to talk to him about that.
Come on, Brad.
Wow. Just go on, Brad. What are you doing?
And that's got to be an easy ask. I mean, it was a Wednesday afternoon. You called him up. You said, hey, this is what I want to do. And he was like, yeah.
Yeah.
And he jumped in.
Absolutely.
That's great.
Actually, he invited me.
He's
got the contact.
He's got the in.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Thank you.
And like, you know, nobody wants to be cats in the cradle, but I mean, anytime you can get with your kid, right? You want to hang out with
them. We had a great time. And thanks to our friend Mark for hosting us. We appreciated that. It was great. It was great.
So if I were to Google search duck hunting, just duck hunting clubs, or do you have to know somebody?
Well, I mean, there are some public duck hunting places where you can go. It's a little more challenging. There may or may not be a blind available. I assume you would just have to find a place to sit down in the corn stalks and wait, if that's the case. But I've never done that, so I don't know what all is involved in that. Maybe we can get somebody on talking about it who duck hunts on public land, which would involve some skills that I've never had to learn. Does that make sense?
Well, wear orange.
Okay,
don't wear orange.
No, you wear camouflage, because the ducks will run. You have to wear a camouflage hat and camouflage clothing, and then the blind is camouflaged with corn stalks. So
you're blind.
Movement will scare the ducks away. They don't. They see colors, apparently. So you do not want to wear orange.
So, but then how do you protect yourself from other hunters?
Well, we were in a metal duck blind.
Yes,
and you're not shooting at the ground. You're shooting up in the air. So.
Okay.
So, you know, it's kind of like 2023 is a highlight for me, because I've done skeet shooting now.
Yes.
Out of St. Louis Skeet and Trap. I guess it's, you know, somebody suggests, hey, come on out and do this. And I even drove home that very first time, and I told my wife on the phone, I'm like, you know, we had a great time. I was terrible at it, so I probably won't go back. I've been back five times now this year.
It's great.
But because I love it. I mean, I love that challenge. And it's like bowling. You want to get better.
Yeah.
You want to get bigger.
Very true. You know? That's a good point. Anyway. Well, I can't wait to get back out there with your boat and shoot some more trap. In the meantime, we're talking crime numbers and Second Amendment protections in the state of Missouri. We're honored to have Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey, who's going to join us for Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors, talking about the efforts he's making to protect your Second Amendment rights if you live in the state of Missouri. You may not think they're under fire, but guess what? They are the mayor of St. Louis, for example. And we'll find out what Attorney General Bailey is doing on that issue coming up here in just a couple of minutes on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews alongside Mark Cox and our executive producer, Carl Middleton.
Pew, pew.
And this segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. In to pair and just in time for Christmas, a huge Sig Sauer sale going on. Go in. If you don't know what to buy the Second Amendment supporter in your family or on your list, just go in and get them a gift card. They will absolutely love the store there in to pair. Check them out, RazorbackArmory.com. On the Missouri Brush Control guest line, finally, a chance for me to talk to the Missouri Attorney General, Andrew Bailey. I was at a fundraiser last night at the old house in Kimswick, which was a wonderful event, but he was a busy guy. Got to shake his hand, and that was about it. He came by our table. Andrew, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
It was a great event last night that Sheriff Marshak put on. How many of these things do you do in a year's time, do you think?
You know, we stay pretty busy. We're statewide, so we'll be in Jasper County one day and then Stoddard County the next. But it's great, you know, getting out there, meeting with everyday working Missourians and understanding the issues they're facing and how important it is to them that we continue to fight to preserve our freedom, our safety, and our prosperity.
Yeah, well, it's a daily struggle, to be honest with you, which is kind of hard to believe. I mean, in a red state like Missouri, we look at how they're destroying the Second Amendment over in Illinois. You'd think we'd have it pretty good over here, and then we've got people like the mayor of St. Louis, for example, and the mayor out in Kansas City who want to be able to preempt state law when it comes to guns.
Yeah, and it's totally illegal and unconstitutional. We're not going to let progressive city leaders destroy our right to keep and bear arms. I'll tell you this, I believe that the rights codified in the Bill of Rights come from God, not man. The Constitution exists to protect us from the government. The best way we can do that is by having an armed citizenry. And certainly the founders understood that. That's why they put the Second Amendment in the Bill of Rights. And here in Missouri, we've got Article 1, Section 23 of the Missouri Constitution, which is an even more robust protection of our right to keep and bear arms. And you're absolutely right in the fact that state law preempts any local control on that issue. And anything the state would even try to do is subject to strict scrutiny, meaning the government would have to show a compelling interest and a means narrowly tailored to achieve that interest. But this is all just political posturing anyway. Tashara Jones knows gun control doesn't work. Look at those text messages that she turned over as part of a Sunshine request earlier this year, where she talked about how gun control didn't work in Chicago at all and utterly failed. And in fact, Chicago has some of the strictest gun laws in America and is one of the most dangerous cities in America. So she has conceded that gun control doesn't work. At the end of the day, we need to be enforcing the laws on the books now to go after criminals, not gun owners.
100%. You know, one of the conversations that I had last night at your fundraiser, Mr. Bailey, was with Jefferson County Prosecuting Attorney Stefanski. And we even had the pastor there, and we were all talking about how people used to go to the Miracle Mile in Chicago and go shopping. I mean, people from St. Louis would jump on a train or jump in their car and run up there. And I haven't heard anybody doing that in a few years. And even downtown, when, you know, one city place mall downtown with 7 or 8 levels, you know, that was a place that people went to, and people just don't feel that safety. So my question to you is, what is the next step when you hear of the numbers, the hundreds of police officers we are down in just the city of St. Louis? What does the Missouri Attorney General say to something like that? How do we fix that?
Well, we've got to continue to build a culture of law and order and support the men and women in law enforcement that put their lives on the line every day to keep the rest of us safe. And certainly we're doing that here at the Missouri Attorney General's office. We've seen a 133% increase in requests for my office to prosecute cases at the trial court level because of the great work we do holding wrongdoers accountable, putting the bad guys away. Look, the streets will be safer if we enforce the laws on the books and put bad guys away. And that silences a lot of the garbage from the left. It's the criminals who are using guns against honest gun owners. That's the problem. It's not a Second Amendment issue. I mean, at the end of the day, we're going to fight to protect our rights and keep and bear arms to protect ourselves when these cities refuse to enforce the laws. And so that's exactly what's going on in Chicago. And I agree, like, we can't let radical progressives destroy our cities like they have cities in other states. But at the end of the day, it's about freedom, safety, and prosperity.
Yeah, that's a good point. Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey joining us right now. What's your take on the situation in the city circuit attorney's office? Now, I know Gabe Gore is now running for that office officially. He's come out and claimed that, I guess, he's doubled the number of prosecutions over the same time period of Kim Gardner a year ago. Do you have a feeling that not only things are going in the right direction, but that he's doing the right things down there?
Yeah, look, this is a new day in St. Louis, in the city of St. Louis, and in the entire region. And crime isn't just localized. I mean, the criminals in St. Louis, when Kim Gardner was refusing to do her job, those criminals crossed city lines, crossed county lines, and it was affecting all of Missouri. And it was an inhibitor to any kind of economic development. Certainly the victims who suffered because she wouldn't bring wrongdoers to justice, those victims never got their day in court under Kim Gardner's reign of terror. And so proud of the work that my office did to have her removed, filing, you know, one of the most consequential lawsuits in the city's history. When we filed the quo warranto action in February, after I'd only been in office for less than 45 days, to get her removed. You know, she had a 96% non-prosecution rate. Wow. 96% of cases, she wouldn't prosecute them. The 4% she did prosecute, she dismissed 39% of the 4% she was prosecuting because she couldn't do her job in court. And so this had reached a deplorable level, and it was absolutely time for the state to move in. And again, proud of the work we've done. I think we're the first attorney general's office in the nation to have successfully removed a Soros-backed prosecutor. Missourians should be proud of that. And again, restoring the rule of law and finding justice for victims is a priority. Proud of the work we've done, and I think things are moving in a good direction.
You know, I wanted to ask you a question last night, but we didn't have time to talk, but I'm so glad you're on the show. This is Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. So what do you say to law-abiding gun owners in Missouri as far as what we can do, short of the ballot box, obviously, but what else can we do to preserve the Second Amendment in the state of Missouri?
Well, we've got to remain vigilant because we're under attack on all fronts. And I think the state attorney general's office is the vanguard in that fight. We're the tip of the spear in that fight. We've currently got multiple actions pending right now in court to protect our Second Amendment rights. Number one, we're defending the state Second Amendment Preservation Act. You know, this is a statute that was enacted by the General Assembly and signed into law by the governor that is really not only a protection of our right to keep and bear arms, but it's also a codification of the 10th Amendment right of the states to have authority over their own internal affairs. The federal government does not have authority in certain spaces, and the Constitution specifically says that, you know, if power is not explicitly given to the federal government or explicitly deprived to the states, then it's reserved to the states and the people of the states. And the Second Amendment Preservation Act is an expression of that doctrine. And so we're defending it at the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals. You know, I think that's a really critical piece of legislation that could be a model for the rest of the country. Again, this is an expression of the people of the state of Missouri's desire to get the federal government out of our lives and to stop regulating things that they have no business regulating. But we've gone on from there. We filed suit against the ATF unconstitutional pistol brace rule. You know, they're trying to make a rule, not a statute, but a rule that would make legitimate gun owners into federal criminals overnight. It includes higher taxes, longer waiting periods, and a registration program. Those are unconstitutional mandates from the federal government. We filed suit to put a stop to it, but we didn't stop there. We've also got involved in legislation against both California and New York. At the end of the day, those blue states want to make a de facto handgun ban. And in New York, it's especially frightening. Look, New York has specifically said that they're going to deny firearm owners the ability to carry a firearm into places of worship. That place of worship restriction is an attack on our religious freedom as well. Churches are one of the most targeted locations for mass shooters. And that's the number one place where I need to be able to defend myself and my family. And so we filed suit on those as well, and we'll be fighting for our Second Amendment rights. We've got to keep the fight against the enemy in other places so it doesn't come here. We got to stay on offense. The best defense is always a good offense on this issue.
Agree. But again, and we can watch, and we're watching with enthusiasm and respect to what your office is doing. But as law-abiding gun owners in the state of Missouri, is there something we could do? Do we need to write letters? Do we need to contact our local, elected officials to just remind them that this is what we are trying to preserve?
I think that's absolutely true. I remember when I was 16 years old in high school, and I regularly put pen to paper and wrote to our congressional delegation and state and federal leaders, encouraging them to edify the Second Amendment, to preserve the Second Amendment, to repeal restrictions on our right to keep and bear arms, because it's fundamental to who we are as Americans. What frightens me the most is this left-wing talking point where they say, oh, well, certain guns are scary, so we need to ban certain aesthetic attributes of firearms. So like an AR-15, you can't have a pistol grip and an extended magazine and a flash suppressor. Those don't make the firearm more dangerous, right? I mean, look, it's responsible gun owners know that. And so fighting back against that kind of diatribe, I think, is really critical. And explaining that to congressmen and women who maybe have not grown up in the, in the world of firearm ownership like you and I have.
Yeah, very true. Well, we want to respect your time, Mr. Attorney General Andrew Bailey, joining us here from Missouri. And keep up the good fight, sir. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks. All the best to you and your listeners. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas
to
you,
sir. Merry Christmas to you.
Yep. Thank you for that. Yeah, I'm glad to get him on here and get a few minutes of his time to discuss what's going on. I mean, here's the scary thing about this, Bo. He says that Tishar Jones, I'm so used to calling her Mayor Tish.
You call her Tish?
Mayor Tish, right? I call it Camp Tish, the homeless camp across from our radio station.
Wow.
I refer to as Camp Tish. But anyway, what Tish is trying to do and what the mayor in Kansas City are trying to do, there's going to be an initiative petition on the ballot here in November. At least they're trying to gather signatures for it, which would grant cities the right to override state law and have gun laws that are more restrictive, that they would override this preemption rule, is what they're claiming. I wish I'd had another minute or two with him. I would like to ask him if he thought that's even legal. But they want to amend the Missouri Constitution to allow that to take place. And this is why we have to be vigilant. You brought it up. It was a great answer on his part. There's constantly an attempt by people who don't understand the issue because they want to use words like gun violence. Well, it's not the gun that's violent. It's the individual holding it that's violent.
Amen.
But instead, they want to restrict your rights as a law-abiding citizen. And there's no lengths to which they won't go to try to do that. That's why we have to stay vigilant on them.
You know, I brought up the shopping experience, Miracle Mile and downtown St. Louis holiday shopping. That used to be a thing. I'm preaching this. It used to be a thing.
And when I saw
at the table last night, I brought up, I mean, at some point when the police are so low in staff, I mean, am I wrong to say, do we need the National Guard to like come in and help? Or I don't know.
I don't know what
What's the answer?
When we talked about it on my show this week, the complaint was, well, we're down 300. We get people into the process in the academy, and then they get lured away by other municipalities that are paying more money, right? So on top of the Ferguson effect, which is dampening people's enthusiasm to take these jobs to begin with, then you've got the fact that once they get in the pipeline, they know they see they can make more money maybe somewhere else in law enforcement. So I think that's part of the problem.
Yeah, for sure. Maybe more a rural location they want to be policing if they're going to be in that line of work.
Or going to work for the county or somewhere else, right?
Or a private security contractor or whatever. There's options, but I don't know. It just, to me, it seems like if you can't enjoy or feel comfortable enjoying all the things that St. Louis or any major city has, then what are we doing here?
Anyway. I'm with you, bro.
All right. Thanks to Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey for being our guest in this segment, brought to you by Razorback Armory on the Missouri Brush Control Guest Line. And coming up next, boy, do we got a story for you. Ooh, man. Hog hunting. Hand-to-hand combat. We're talking about it on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors next. Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors with Mark Cox. I'm Bo Matthews. And we promised you a heck of a story. I had pictures. I've seen video, but it's not out there in the public ether yet. Old friend of mine in St. Louis. He is an executive with a St. Louis company, a tech space. He's in the tech space. But when I first met him, gosh, what was it, Jim? 25 years ago or more, he was my tattoo artist. But he's moved right up the ranks. Welcome to Second Amendment Radio and the great Outdoors.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it's great. Yeah, I've known you a long time, Bo, and definitely I'm an interesting guy to follow. My career path has been somewhat of a pinball machine, but here I am. So,
well, and Mark, for the record, my nickname for Jim Allen is the Big Onion because there's so many layers to this guy, and he's about 6'10". And I see that Carl was slacking in his prep for us today because I think he stole his. I don't know. Is this the LinkedIn design of his profile? Dynamic, high energy professional with a strong track record. You know what? Let's get right down to it. Jim Allen is a dear friend, and he went on a hog hunt that I thought he was going to say, let's go shoot him from helicopters. But no, Jim, let's set the stage for Mark and Carl and everybody else listening on this hand-to-hand combat hog hunt you went on.
Okay, so you know how it kind of went down. So I've been deer hunting. I didn't grow up around it. If there was a gun in my house growing up, I didn't know about it, right? So I didn't grow up around this stuff. But about 15 years ago, I got into deer hunting and a little bit of turkey hunting and mostly rifle. And then I started getting into a few years back bow hunting, and it's just such a different hunt. I mean, it really is. And I think what it is you're just closer. It's just a little more intimate, as weird as that sounds. So I've loved bow hunting. I took another deer with the bow this year. I took one last year. So that's been great. So I was at a big event, and one of our clients, actually, who's an Army veteran and a friend, he said, hey, Jim, I know you like to hunt. How would you like to go on a hog hunt? I said, man, I would love to do that. Can you strap me to a helicopter? Like, what are we going to do? And he says, well, we're going to use knives. And so, and I'd never heard of this, right? And this gentleman I have massive respect for, but I mean, he has served in Romney, you know, Bronze Star winner. This guy is a legit amazing human being. And I'm like, wow, okay, tell me more about that. So he's like, well, you know, you get this dog, and the dog gets on the hog, and you just jump in there into the fight, and you stab it. And I'm like, wow, that just sounds insanely awesome. Let's 100% do it. Like,
what could possibly go wrong?
Right. So then, you know, that night I'm Googling, you know, hog tusk injuries, and I'm like, oh, my God. So. And my wife's like, well, this seems very dangerous. And I said, well, that's what makes it exciting. You know, as young kids and men, as we grow up, we're always seeking that adventure. So, you know, I was pretty excited about it. So he knows some folks in Tennessee that had a small family farm, and they kind of do this. They host people to come, and usually they do rifle and bow hunting on these hogs for them. And they put you up in their little cabin and feed you, and they kind of take you out. But they do have some dogs, so... You know what? We went down there. I had to buy a knife. Right? So,
and I'm guessing, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I'm guessing this wasn't what might commonly be referred to as a little pig sticker. This must have been like a real knife.
Well, if I'm being honest, I looked on Amazon for pig stickers.
Did you?
So okay. I sent my buddy, I said, what kind of knife are you using? So he sends me a picture of this knife. It looks more like a Bowie knife.
I'll bet.
If you're familiar with that.
Yes.
And so I ended up buying something similar. It's about a 14-inch knife with an 8.5-9-inch blade. And I did learn something about a knife, not the rabbit hole this, but the little groove in the side of the knife is actually called a blood groove. And that's designed to make it easier to pull the knife back out because apparently it's the suction gets stuck in there. It's the whole thing. So I ended up buying this Bowie knife. Actually, it was a gift, ironically, because I bought a different one, and then my brother-in-law found out I was doing this. So they, for my birthday, which is also on Veterans Day, they gave me this knife to use, which was funny because they were kind of against me going to do this. And one of the questions he said was, you know, why would you pick the most brutal method to hunt, you know, hunt these hogs? And I said, well, perhaps I recommend you take a trip to the slaughterhouse and look at the horrors hidden beneath the styrofoam trays and cellophane wrap. But the other thing is, my instant remark, because I'm a little sarcastic, was, well, it's because of toxic masculinity, which I apparently have.
Oh, my gosh.
The thrill was it was real, man. So we get down there to set the stage, and they had the way the little cabin was divided, there was rooms on either side. They had a common area and a little kitchen in the middle, and so me and my buddy were on one side, and there were three other hunters on the other side, but they had been out all day, but we showed up closer to dinner time because we're going to hunt the following morning. And they said, y'all going to hunt some hogs? And I said, yep, yes, sir, we're going to hunt some hogs. And they said, well, what are you going to shoot them with? And I said, well, we're not going to shoot them with anything. We're going to stab them with knives. And they started laughing. Like, they didn't believe us. They're like, man, you guys are crazy. Now, you know, we both have shaved heads and goatees, so we probably look a little nuts. The next morning, no offense, Bo.
Yeah, right.
It's radio, Bo.
I'm painting a picture here. Right?
Yeah, paint a picture of Bo. Go ahead.
I'm a wordsmith. So we get up in the morning. We're ready to go. We're excited. We got our knives with us. And it's weird to go on a hunt with no firearms or bows or anything. So I just got this knife on my belt. And so basically there's what's called a bay dog, and then there's a catch dog. The bay dog, you go out in the middle of the woods, and you cut the bay dog loose, and you just listen. You listen to him to start yelping that he's found a hog, or he's chasing one, or he gets it cornered, or holed up, or whatever. It takes a little bit of time. So my buddy got his hog first, and the bay dog caught one up in a culvert. So we heard it yelp, and we drove over, and he was able to release the catch dog, which is some kind of terrier mix, probably got some pit in it. And then the catch dog was a sweetheart riding next to me in the side-by-side, which I'm petting. And when he unleashed the fury to go after this hog, I'm like, man, I ain't going anywhere near that dog. Because he was on it like the devil himself. The catch dog grabs the ear of the hog, and it's a fight. I mean, there's thrashing, jumping around. And you have to be careful because if that hog gets loose, it will hit you with the tusk. And then it's very dangerous. It's chaos. The dogs are barking and yelping. The pig's screaming. And so you kind of jump into the fight, and you try to find the opportunity to stab the hog in the right spot for a good, clean kill without getting bit, attacked, stabbing yourself or a dog or anything else. So it's a little bit hectic and chaotic, but then when it's over, right? You're just standing there all pumped up. So he got on his pretty well. The second dog jumps on the hog after the first dog does. It's interesting. It doesn't go at the pig until the catch dog gets on it. So we load up his hog, and we start over with the dogs calm down because they're pretty wound tight, back into the woods, and we release the bay dog again, and it's my turn. I'm excited. And mine was a little bit different because mine ended up in an open field, and so we were running the side-by-side trying to separate the hog. The bay dog had two hogs, and I wanted the bigger hog, of course.
Right.
And so we end up running along this old barbed wire fence line, and those hogs run about 28 miles an hour. I don't know if you know that. Those little legs are flying.
Wow.
And so the bay dog gets distracted and runs the smaller hog off, so all we have is one dog, and the guide with me says, do you want to do it with one dog? And I'm like, of course I do. What could go wrong? So I'm not going to chicken out, not in front of my buddy, right? So we throw the dog, jumps out of the side-by-side while we're moving, and that dog goes after that hog. And they're fighting. He gets on his ear, and they naturally know how to do this, apparently. So they're fighting. This hog's flipping this dog around, and I mean, it is insane. So I jump out of the side-by-side with my knife, and you can kind of I'm trying to position myself to get, because the pig's, you know, constantly squirming and wiggling around, and the dog's pulling it in all these directions. So I'm able to – I had to put my hand on top of his back and reach over and put my knife in the double lung on the side, which is why the knife needs to be long enough. So that's a good kill shot in any hunt, right, whether it's arrow, rifle, whatever. So the double lung's a coveted shot. I think I do pretty well, and I pull out. It's still fighting because, as you may or may not know, when you kill an animal with a double lung, you know, deer can run 100 yards.
Right.
So I see this happening, and I get another opportunity the way it repositioned straight away. So I reached in, and I was able to stab it up under the armpit and right in the heart. And it sprayed blood all over my arm. Like, it was a direct hit on the heart, and it died 6 feet. Very quickly after that.
8 feet. It was huge. It was huge. I saw the video.
I need to see this video, because I've never heard of anything like this before.
Isn't America great?
The best part is, I'm standing there, visualize it, the heart...
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors with Mark Cox. I'm Bo Matthews. And we promised you a heck of a story. I had pictures. I've seen video, but it's not out there in the public ether yet. Old friend of mine in St. Louis. He is an executive with a St. Louis a company, a tech space. He's in the tech space. But when I first met him, gosh, what was it, Jim? 25 years ago or more, he was my tattoo artist. But he's moved right up the ranks. Welcome to Second Amendment Radio and the great Outdoors.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it's great. Yeah, I've known you a long time, Bo, and definitely I'm an interesting guy to follow. My career path has been somewhat of a pinball machine, but here I am. So,
well, and Mark, for the record, my nickname for Jim Allen is the Big Onion, because there's so many layers to this guy, and he's about 6'10". And I see that Carl was slacking in his prep for us today, because I think he stole his, I don't know, is this the LinkedIn design of his profile? Dynamic high energy professional with a strong track record. You know what? Let's get right down to it. Jim Allen is a dear friend, and he went on a hog hunt that I thought he was going to say, let's go shoot him from helicopters. But no, Jim, let's set the stage for Mark and Carl and everybody else listening on this hand-to-hand combat hog hunt you went on.
Okay, so you know how it kind of went down. So I've been deer hunting. I didn't grow up around it. If there was a gun in my house growing up, I didn't know about it, right? So I didn't grow up around this stuff. But about 15 years ago, I got into deer hunting and a little bit of turkey hunting and mostly rifle. And then I started getting into a few years back bow hunting, and it's just such a different hunt. I mean, it really is. And I think what it is you're just closer. It's just a little more intimate. As weird as that sounds. So I've loved bow hunting. I took another deer with a bow this year. I took one last year. So that's been great. So I was at a big event, and one of our clients, actually, who's an Army veteran and a friend, he said, hey, Jim, I know you like to hunt. How would you like to go on a hog hunt? I said, man, I would love to do that. Can you strap me to a helicopter? Like, what are we going to do? And he says, well, we're going to use knives. And so, and I'd never heard of this, right? And this gentleman I have massive respect for, but I mean, he has served in Romney, you know, Bronze Star winner. This guy is a legit amazing human being. And I'm like, wow, okay, tell me more about that. So he's like, well, you know, you get this dog, and the dog gets on the hog, and you just jump in there into the fight and you stab it. And I'm like, wow, that just sounds insanely awesome. Let's 100% do it. Like,
what could possibly go wrong?
Right. So then, you know, that night I'm Googling, hog tusk injuries, and I'm like, oh, my God. So. And my wife's like, well, this seems very dangerous. And I said, well, that's what makes it exciting. You know, as young kids and men, as we grow up, we're always seeking that adventure. So, you know, I was pretty excited about it. So he knows some folks in Tennessee that had a small family farm, and they kind of do this. They host people to come, and usually they do rifle and bow hunting on these hogs for them. And they put you up in their little cabin and feed you, and they kind of take you out. But they do have some dogs. So, you know what? We went down there. I had to buy a knife. Right? So,
and I'm guessing, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I'm guessing this wasn't what might commonly be referred to as a little pig sticker. This must have been like a real knife.
Well, if I'm being honest, I looked on Amazon for pig stickers.
Did you?
So I sent my buddy, I said, what kind of knife are you using? So he sends me a picture of this knife. It looks more like a Bowie knife.
I'll bet.
If you're familiar with that.
Yes.
And so I ended up buying something similar. It's about a 14-inch knife with an 8.5, 9-inch blade. And I did learn something about a knife, not the rabbit hole this, but the little groove in the side of the knife is actually called a blood groove. And that's designed to make it easier to pull the knife back out, because apparently it's the suction gets stuck in there. It's the whole thing. So I end up buying this Bowie knife. Actually, it was a gift, ironically, because I bought a different one, and then my brother-in-law found out I was doing this. So they, for my birthday, which is also on Veterans Day, they gave me this knife to use, which was funny because they were kind of against me going to do this. And one of the questions he said was, you know, why would you pick the most brutal method to hunt, you know, hunt these hogs? And I said, well, perhaps I recommend you take a trip to the slaughterhouse and look at the horrors hidden beneath the styrofoam trays and cellophane wrap. But the other thing is, my instant remark, because I'm a little sarcastic, was, well, it's because of toxic masculinity, which I apparently have.
Oh, my gosh.
The thrill of the hunt, it was real, man. So we get down there to set the stage, and they had the way the little cabin was divided, there was rooms on either side. They had a common area and a little kitchen in the middle. And so me and my buddy were on one side, and there was three other hunters on the other side, that they had been out all day, but we showed up closer to dinner time because we're going to hunt the following morning. And they said, y'all going to hunt some hogs? And we said, yep, yes, sir, we're going to hunt some hogs. And they said, well, what are you going to shoot them with? And I said, well, we're not going to shoot them with anything. We're going to stab them with knives. And they started laughing. Like, they didn't believe us. They're like, man, you guys are crazy. Now, you know, we both have shaved heads and goatees, so we probably look a little nuts. So,
hey,
you know, the next morning, we're, no offense, Bo.
Yeah, right.
It's radio, Bo.
I'm painting a picture here. Right?
Yeah, paint a picture of Bo. Go ahead.
I'm a wordsmith. So we get up in the morning. We're ready to go. We're excited. We got our knives with us. And it's weird to go on a hunt with no firearms or bows or anything. So I just got this knife on my belt. And so basically there's what's called a bay dog, and then there's a catch dog. The bay dog, you go out in the middle of the woods and you cut the bay dog loose and you just listen. You listen to him to start yelping that he's found a hog, or he's chasing one, or he gets a cornered or holed up or whatever. It takes a little bit of time. So my buddy got his hog first, and the bay dog caught one up in a culvert. So we heard it yelp, and we drove over, and he was able to release the catch dog, which is some kind of terrier mix, probably got some pit in it. And then the catch dog was a sweetheart riding next to me in the side-by-side, which I'm petting. And when he unleashed the fury to go after this hog, I'm like, man, I ain't going anywhere near that dog. Because he was on it, like the devil himself. The catch dog grabs the ear of the hog, and it's a fight. I mean, there's thrashing, jumping around. And you have to be careful, because if that hog gets loose, it will hit you with the tusk. And then it's very dangerous. It's chaos. The dogs are barking and yelping. The pig's screaming. And so you kind of jump into the fight, and you try to find the opportunity to stab the hog in the right spot for a good, clean kill without getting bit, attacked, stabbing yourself or a dog or anything else. So it's a little bit hectic and chaotic, but then when it's over, right? You're just standing there all pumped up. So he got on his pretty well. The second dog jumps on the hog after the first dog does. It's interesting. It doesn't go at the pig until the catch dog gets on it. So we load up his hog, and we start over with the dogs calm down because they're pretty wound tight, back into the woods, and we release the bay dog again, and it's my turn. I'm excited. And mine was a little bit different, because mine ended up in an open field, and so we were running the side-by-side trying to separate the hog. The bay dog had two hogs, and I wanted the bigger hog, of course.
Right.
And so we end up running along this old barbed wire fence line, and those hogs run about 28 miles an hour. I don't know if you know that. Those little legs are flying.
Wow.
And so the bay dog gets distracted and runs the smaller hog off, so all we have is one dog, and the guide with me says, do you want to do it with one dog? And I'm like, of course I do. What could go wrong? So I'm not going to chicken out, not in front of my buddy, right? So we throw the dog, jumps out of the side-by-side while we're moving, and that dog goes after that hog, and they're fighting. He gets on his ear, and they naturally know how to do this, apparently. So they're fighting. This hog's flipping this dog around, and I mean, it is insane. So I jump out of the side by side with my knife, and you can kind of I'm trying to position myself to get, because the pig's, you know, constantly squirming and wiggling around, and the dog's pulling it in all these directions. So I'm able to, I had to put my hand on top of his back and reach over and put my knife in the double lung on the side, which is why the knife needs to be long enough. So that's a good kill shot in any hunt, right? Whether it's arrow, rifle, whatever. So the double lung is a coveted shot. I think I do pretty well, and I pull out. It's still fighting. Because as you may or may not know, when you kill an animal with a double lung, you know, deer can run 100 yards.
Right.
So I see this happening, and I get another opportunity the way it repositioned straight away. So I reached in, and I was able to stab it up under the armpit and right in the heart. And it sprayed blood all over my arm like it was a direct hit on the heart. And it died quickly after that.
8 feet. It was huge. It was huge. I saw the video.
I need to see this video because I've never heard of anything like this before.
Isn't America great?
The best part is I'm standing there, visualize it. The hog's bed. The dog's still sniffing around at it. And I got a bloody knife in my hand and part of my arm's covered in blood. And we're standing there talking about it. We're going to, you know, everybody's catching their breath and we're going to throw this thing back up. I'm admiring the tusks. My hog was the biggest tusks of the day. Well, at that time, we hear the other side by side coming up, and the gentlemen that were rifle hunting, there was three of them with another guide, and they pulled up on this scene with, you know, me and my buddy standing there with bloody hands and knives. And they're like, "Oh my God, you really did stab me."
It's a thing.
I'm laughing so hard at this point. Like, the whole scene was just nuts, but they were like, "There's no way." And one guy said, "My family thinks I'm crazy. Wait till I tell them about you guys down here."
So after, you know, after your first deer kill, usually there's a little thing
ritual?
You go through. Yeah, a little
ceremony.
Ritual where you might dip your finger in the blood and put it on your cheek or something like that. With a hog, is it the mountain oysters? What are you after there?
Oh.
Yeah, you're going Dances with Wolves on me. So, you know, it wasn't quite as romantic as that. We threw them in the back. And my hog was like 250 pounds. So we horsed this thing up into the side-by-side, take it back, skin it, gut it, you know, and cut it up. And they actually helped process that and made sausage, which is amazing. It's better than Jimmy Dean.
Like, oh,
I've already had this for breakfast. My wife, who's not a big fan of eating the wild animal, I convinced her to try it. She loves it. She ended up taking some sausage patties to work the next day. Like, she's a fan. It's really, really good. Because people have this thing, they say, "Oh, it's gamey." And I'm like, I don't even know what that means. But when you prepare it right, it's delicious. A hog is a hog, right? So it was pretty incredible experience, though. And I don't know how I'm going to top it. But the adrenaline rush, the camaraderie at the campfire that evening, of, you know, doing this experience together, it just was incredible.
Well, Jim Allen, what a story, my friend. I'm telling you, oftentimes we'll have people on the show, they'll be describing this, a safari, or, you know, so they've gone out west on an elk hunt or something, and I'm thinking to myself, God, I really need to try that. In your case, I'm not so sure that I'm ready to hop on the back of an angry 250-pound wild boar.
Well, I have to tell you, I don't know what this says about me, you guys, but I was not worried. Like, I was very calm, walked up and stabbed this thing, and I'm like, this is amazing. Like, I enjoyed the hunt. But I don't know if I'm some kind of high-functioning sociopath or what, but I did enjoy it. And, you know, to me, regardless of the weapon, you want a clean, ethical kill on this thing. And, you know, I want to harvest and eat what I kill. And I love hunting. And the other, you know, my deer hunting has become less in Missouri and somewhat down south because I have friends that have places down there. And I actually got to deer hunt with my bow this year with some active duty Army Rangers, which is another incredible story. And just, you know, hanging out with these guys. There was some retired Army Rangers, but some active duties. And, you know, they were able to get on some deer, and there's a group called Darby's Warrior Support.org, and that group just funds hunts for active duty and retired military people. So, you know, again, I hunted on this hog with a retired Army vet as well, and I love our veterans and try to do that. It builds such camaraderie, but these stories, and these, they're fun to tell, but they're even more fun to live.
Man, I bet. I bet. So when you were on the back of that hog, did it remind you when you were doing my back piece on my tattoo 25 years ago?
It was almost the same thing, but I think the hog had less hair on its back.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Oh, man.
So bad. Big onion. Big onion. Jim Allen, thank you so much for sharing your story, and thanks for being on Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, buddy.
Right on, guys. Thanks for what you do.
You bet, man.
Merry
Jim,
Christmas.
You're my hero. Holy cow. Or holy hog.
Yeah, he's the... Yeah, he's the same guy that called me January of 2023. Said you want to go hunt crocodile or alligators down in Florida. I'm like, okay.
I don't know.
What
how
are
you,
we making belts?
I don't know how you top something like that. Wow.
I know. But I will get the video. It's not public,
that.
I'm sure.
Okay.
But he did put a music. He did put a rock and roll music, you know, bed to it. A Simple Man or something. I forget what it was. But anyway, good stuff. It's Holiday Stories with Jim Allen on Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors.
I'll think of it every time I eat bacon from now on. No kidding. All right. Have a great weekend, folks. That does it for this edition. We'll see you next week on Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.